program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is John Cagia. He is the research manager of Market Connections, and you can find them at marketconnectionsinc.com. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Mark. Very glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you, man. First of all, let's get a little background on Market Connections, because it's been a while since Lisa's been here, so some people actually may not know you guys.
Well, thank you for that, Mark. Market Connections is really a leading market research provider in the Washington, D.C. area, and we specialize in helping our clients in the business-to-government and business-to-business communities make smarter decisions by providing them insights into their clients' businesses, the markets that they serve, and the direction that the industries are headed. Now, we do this through a variety of techniques ranging from customer and contract satisfaction surveys to brand and competitor analyses, as well as doing broad-level industry analyses to assess where both individual organizations and the broader industry issues are headed.
Okay. Now, last year we were at a session. We'll talk about this in a few minutes. I was at a session where you presented your federal media and marketing study. This year, you're just coming out with it. I don't believe it's released just yet, your government contractor social media survey for 2010, and we'll get into those. But how did you hook up with Mark Connections? What's John's background?
Well, I've been with Market Connections now for, going on 6 years. And my background is more on the management and consulting side. So having worked with organizations in with consultancies and law firms, helping them understand their business strategies, and having a fairly extensive academic background with fairly deep research experience where I was helping governments in Africa assess issues ranging from tourism to technology. I joined Market Connections because I was really interested in their focus on the government side and particularly the technology side. And in the period I've been working with them, I've primarily been serving clients in the technology side, systems integrators and government consultants, to help them understand how effective their marketing is being and how they are perceived both relative to their competitors and relative to where the opportunities they are trying to pursue lie. So.
Okay. I've been using Market Connections work since Lisa started her company almost 15 years ago now, I believe.
Well, we actually celebrate 15 years in 2011.
So there you go.
Excited about that.
Yeah. Well, Lisa and I have known each other a little longer than that because I knew her back when she worked at GTSI as well. But I'm a big fan of the work, and in some cases it validates what I'm telling people already. In other cases, it tells me to look at things that maybe I haven't looked at before. Go ahead.
And you make an interesting point, Mark, in that one of the things that we hear from our clients repeatedly is one of the things that really sets us apart is how actionable the insights we provide are to the strategic issues that they're dealing with.
Well, they are. I mean, the work that you guys have done, I used in my first book, Government Marketing Best Practices, extensively. And it's kept that book alive for 5 years. It came out in 05, and I'm doing another book signing this week. You know, it's the book that won't die, and part of that's because of the stuff from Market Connection. It's still valid. It's 5-6 years old, but some of that information is still valid. You know, it's a relationship-driven market. How do you develop the relationships? But we're going to be focusing today on the social media side of those relationships. So, and that ties into where you are right now. Tell our audience, we're recording this on, Thursday, I believe this is the 11th, and it'll air on Monday. And, but tell people where you are and what you're doing there.
Well, right now I am at the Marketing Research Association's annual conference in a very rainy Boston right now. And this conference is where both market research providers and end users gather to share some of their best practices, some of the new and emerging techniques that are coming out, as well as addressing some of the broader strategic issues that the industry is facing. And, Mark, I have to tell you, given that we're going to be talking about social media, that that is really the key topic that everyone is talking about right now. We had a great keynote yesterday by Josh Bernoff of Forrester talking about how social media research is evolving. And I've also attended a couple of sessions where that was also the main topic of discussion. And it's clearly something that the industry is very focused on and really trying to harness the opportunity presents in understanding what our audiences are thinking and helping us understand how to more effectively engage with them through these tools.
So, you know, I know on LinkedIn they have an extremely rudimentary poll tool, but I also know that back in January, I think the last time we saw each other, Lisa called me about a week or so before you did one of your studies, and I believe that was the one that I referenced earlier. Now I can't remember the name.
The Federal Medium and Marketing Study.
Right, exactly. She called me a week or so before, and you know, the attendance was not real high, so I took the link to it and I put it in about 20 groups in LinkedIn, and you got a bit of a spike in attendance. So we know that it it can actually work. But how are you using any social media tools right now for your research?
Well, there's a variety of ways. One is it's a great way to build background insight. So you meet a lot of people through social communities, through discussions, reading blogs, to get background on what both the thought leaders in the industries that they're serving are doing, as well as their target audiences. So, you know, it's amazing how much insight you can get about some of the issues that government employees are facing by spending time on GovLoop. And it gives you a great context to begin to understand what questions you should be asking using more traditional research techniques. You know, one of the things we are finding with social media research is that it's a great place to find which questions need to be asked, and it's still evolving as a place to get those questions answered. There's a lot of content being generated, and some of the new tools that are emerging are able to automatically filter through the millions of blogs out there, millions of, say, postings on consumer product reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And scan through them to assess, were those comments good or bad? What specific aspects were those comments focused on? So was it a comment about the size or weight of a device? Or was it a comment about, if you're looking at mobile devices, was it a comment about the battery length? And the tools are now evolving that allow you to be able to do all of that automatically and have a high-level view of where the what is driving the discussion and what's in people's minds. But then we also find that you need to supplement that with more traditional research, which helps you ask pointed questions to the people who are posting these comments or to that community to understand more clearly and more relevantly to your clients and needs why they feel the way they do and what can be done to improve their sentiment.
Cool. My guest today is John Kaguya. He is the research manager at Market Connections. You can find them at marketconnectionsinc.com. When we come back, we're going to touch on the 2009-10 Federal Media and Marketing Survey and then migrate into the new social media survey. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
Department of Homeland Security officials say 100% of passengers traveling in the U.S. and territories are now being checked against terrorist watch lists through the Transportation Security Administration's Secure Flight Program, a major step in fulfilling a key 9/11 Commission recommendation. Secure Flight enables TSA to screen passengers directly against government watch lists, using passengers' names, their date of birth, and gender before a boarding pass is issued. In addition to providing secure travel for passengers, the program helps prevent the misidentification of passengers who have names similar to individuals on government watch lists. Officials say 99% of passengers will be cleared by Secure Flight to print boarding passes at home by providing their date of birth, gender, and name as it appears on the government ID they plan to use when traveling.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
Announcing Executive Update 2010, the Senior Executives Association, in affiliation with Deloitte Federal Human Capital Practice, invites you to join your peers in government June 16th in Washington, D.C. for Executive Update 2010. Sessions focus on the administration's performance expectations for executives, labor management forums, OPM Director John Barry's vision for the Career Executive Corps, Norm Ornstein's congressional election predictions, and much more. For additional information and to register, visit seniorexecutives.org.
The Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com explores the hard issues surrounding cloud computing from the government's perspective, sharing with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the Fed Cloud blog on Twitter, sponsored by Intel and Cisco. Two technology companies leading the cloud revolution.
Nurse means noble. Nurse means selfless. Mothers nurse their children. You nurse someone back to health. If there were ever a group of people more on the give side of the give-take continuum, it would be news to us. I mean, why does one become a nurse? Because working 8 at night to 10 in the morning is so appealing? Because the glamour of day-to-day encounters with a wide variety of bodily fluids is too much to resist? Nurses are nurses because their capacity to care is colossal. Their sympathy, superhuman. Even when you try to act all steely and businesslike, you can't fool us. We still see the love in the tough. We can still hear that gargantuan heart all squishy with compassion thumping away. So while too often you yield the spotlight for just this moment, we're asking all the nurses out there to do what clearly doesn't come natural and take a bow. Kaiser Permanente. May our 45,000 nurses all live long and thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is John Kaguya. He is the research manager at Market Connections. You can find him at marketconnectionsinc.com. And before I forget, the studies that we're talking about are available for purchase at Market Connections. And these are, again, I used the Market Connections research in my first book, and it's remarkably helpful for anybody selling products and services to the government. John, during the break, we decided to alter a little bit the focus for this segment. You've been with Market Connections for 6 years now. So give us kind of the evolution of the use of social media.
When I first joined, government use or use of social media by government employees was non-existent. I remember going to events and asking about Facebook or LinkedIn and getting blank stares, because we didn't even know what those tools were, let alone consider what they were doing.
Right.
On the contractor side, amongst those who were using them, and the use was still quite low, but it was primarily for personal use only. People were on Facebook. There were some on MySpace. This was at a time when before MySpace had taken the turn it had. But LinkedIn really hadn't taken off the way it had.
Yeah, there's an irony there, too, because LinkedIn was up about 6 months before Facebook.
That's right. That's right. But there was also a bit of a skepticism about how it could be used, given that people were still very... people knew Facebook and knew it was being used by a college set, and they were having trouble adapting that model to how it can be used in a business setting effectively and what benefit there would be in doing that. You know, they were used to doing business as they always had. You had your contact list, you had your Rolodex, and that's how you pursued leads. But it is really extraordinary how much things have evolved, and both on the contractor side and with government employees, particularly looking at the past 2 years, where I think, to borrow Malcolm Gladwell's term, I think we reached a tipping point where you had enough people begin to adopt the tools and see value in what the tools can be used for in terms of not just creating new contacts within the community, but exchanging information in a way that really has never been possible before. When you think about government and the way information has traditionally traveled, it's been very hierarchical, and you needed to go through multiple layers and multiple chains to get information from one point to another. To a certain extent, these tools dismantle that framework, and it becomes now possible to share information instantaneously with all the people in a community who that information is relevant to. And the opportunity that presents, particularly at a time when we're looking at trying to streamline the way government does business, lower costs, the opportunity presents is truly extraordinary.
Did you monitor the use of social media in the last presidential election?
We did. Now, it's not included in the report that we studied, but
right.
It was something that we were observing, and that was actually one of the things that we were considering very carefully as we were putting together our social media report. And the Obama administration's, or the Obama candidate's use of social media was on a scale and level of coordination that had never been done before for any official seeking office. The numbers, he had something like 25 million Facebook users registered to his groups, and what they were able to do with that is once they built this enormous Facebook community, they were able to motivate and get those people to act locally within their own communities. So the key wasn't just building a large Facebook community. The key was using that community to generate action at the local level. And it became... it resulted in a massive grassroots movement because they had a centralized place where they could quickly get information out and very targeted information to different communities.
Right, and one of the things that showed up for me on the presidential campaign of several months before he even announced, there were questions that he and his advisors were posting on LinkedIn regarding small business policies, contracting policies for government, that sort of thing, so you could feel that something was coming.
Absolutely. And that's another kind of great point about it. It wasn't a one-way conversation. They were asking as many questions as they were feeding information out. And what that did for particularly amongst his supporters was that it made them feel like they were having a personal say in helping shape what would become his platform.
Go ahead.
And many felt that was a very, very powerful, motivating to drive engagement.
It really was. So migrating up to the 2009-10 report that you guys delivered this past January, give us a little bit of the scope of that, but then focus in on the part that covered the social media side of things.
Sure. And the 2009 study, it's the Federal Media and Marketing Study, and what we sought to understand is how federal employees are using information and understanding which channels are being most widely used, both online and print, radio, and television, to see whether there were differences in the media consumption habits between agencies, between employees of different grades or ranks, by age, by education, by gender. This was actually a study we did first in 2008. We repeated it in 2009. And what it does is it allows the user to actually use a tool that we've developed to analyze it, to analyze this data set, which had over 2,500 participants, by the audience which they are targeting. So if you want to know just what IT decision makers are using, then you can use the tool to do that. One of the questions that we asked in the study was how federal employees are using social media. The first question was, are you allowed to access social media at work? And when we did the study, only 20% said yes, and we had more than half, 55%, say they weren't allowed to access social media at the office. Amongst those who were using social media, the top tools they were using were Facebook, which was being used by about 1 in 4. About 1/3 were using YouTube, and only 16% were using LinkedIn when we did this in 2009.
My guest today is John Cagia. He is the research manager at Market Connections. You can find them at marketconnectionsinc.com. And when we come back, we're migrating into the new study. Just a reminder, you can purchase these studies at marketconnectionsinc.com. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Arink.
The U.S. intelligence community may have struck pay dirt again in North Waziristan. Locals say 18 suspected terrorists were killed after 2 strikes in the northwest part of the country in less than 12 hours. 6 missiles were fired in an attack on a house in a village close to Bagboda in the terrorist hotbed of Miram Shah, killing 15 suspected militants on Thursday. 3 more people were killed in another strike on Friday. This year alone, there have been 36 U.S. missile strikes in that area. I'm J.J. Green.
Can you imagine the number of frequent flyer miles you could earn for a flight that's nearly 30,000 miles long? Arink can. Arink supported the U.S. Air Force's C-5 aircraft modernization program by leading a test flight that flew through the Arctic cold in Alaska to the desert heat in Australia. The C-5 is 40 years old and is one of the largest aircraft in the world. Log on to ARINC.com to learn more.
Make your dollar go further at Nationals Park. Watch Adam Dunn and future Hall of Famer Pudge Rodriguez and the Nats battle the Chicago White Sox Friday, June 18th to Sunday the 20th. Friday and Saturday, it's a pregame party at the Miller Lite Scoreboard Walk. $5 Miller products, music, games, and more. The Bubbleheads are back. The Bubbleheads are back. And they're better than ever. The first 15,000 fans Saturday get a free Ryan Zimmerman bobblehead. Nationals.com or call 888-632-NATS.
This Father's Day, give Dad the gift of golf at HalfPriceDC.com. This week, HalfPriceDC.com has half-price golf at Westfields Golf Club, where signature design meets signature service. Golfdom, a golfer's store offering you everything you need to live the game. And Virginia Oaks Golf Club, Northern Virginia's most memorable and challenging golf course. See all the half-price golf deals at halfpricedc.com.
I remember that morning, I woke up with simple flu-like symptoms. As the day progressed, my temperature reached 106 degrees, so my parents rushed me to the ER.
When Leslie Meigs was a child, she was diagnosed with meningococcal meningitis.
That's when they brought my parents in, and I told them the reality of the situation, that I was dying, and that I probably wouldn't make it.
Without a vaccination to prevent it, Leslie's type of meningitis, although rare, can lead to serious complications and death within 48 hours.
I was in a coma for weeks, in the hospital for months, and had to go on dialysis. All of this, and I'm considered lucky.
Novartis is developing new and innovative vaccines to help protect against meningitis, influenza, and other infectious diseases.
I believe that people don't need to suffer from diseases like this. And with all the new vaccines that are being developed today, hopefully, they won't have to.
Novartis. Think what's possible.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is John Cagia, Research Manager of Market Connections. You can find him at marketconnectionsinc.com. John, the new study, the 2010 Government Contractor Social Media Survey, you guys emailed me the advanced version of this yesterday, and man, I stayed up past my bedtime trying to I go to bed early anyway, but I was, you know, this is really good stuff. Give us the scope on this thing.
Well, given that this is such a huge issue, we try to approach it a bit differently than I think anyone has done this before, in that we ran two surveys concurrently, one targeting federal employees, the other targeting the federal contractor community, trying to understand how these two communities are using social media and where the opportunity lies between the two to more effectively use these tools collaboratively. Now, on the federal side, we had just over 300 participants. On the contractor side, about 200, which gave us a total population of 500 participants. And we also did a series of in-depth interviews with executive decision makers within the government contract community, just to get additional insight into how their organizations are using social media, what some of the strategic challenges they're facing with these tools, where they see the opportunity lie, and where they see this evolving in terms of a key integral tool that's part of their business processes.
Okay. So let's start off with some of the on my slide deck here. It is slide 10. Social media usage trends in the government community. Let's talk about the trends a bit. Starting with those who worked in agencies that don't use social media, what was their reason for not using it, and how many expect to migrate?
Well, that's a great question. We are still seeing that nearly half, at least when we did this, were working in an agency that did not use social media. 29 were working in an agency that did. And one of the big challenges one of the reasons why they aren't using social media is that there wasn't an internal champion. There's also a lot of concern around security, and in fact, security is one of the key issues that has been a limitation in agencies adopting social media, particularly amongst those who are handling extremely sensitive information. And then a third reason that we heard why agencies haven't adopted these tools is that there wasn't a clear business case on why the tools should be adopted. Now, I will say this. One of the big things that has happened, and it happened right after we collected this data, is that the administration came out with its new social media guidelines.
Yep.
And what was really a fundamental shift in position, the administration has taken a position saying, rather than saying, no, you can't use these tools unless you justify why, they're now saying that you can use these tools, and there has to be a compelling reason why we would not let you use those tools. So it's a much more expansive approach to social media, and we expect that one of the consequences of it is agencies are going to be able to be more expansive in how they use these tools. And so we expect that number to change significantly when we repeat the study.
Yeah, one of the things that caught my eye on again, slide 10, notably of those who worked in agencies that do not use social media, 44% did not expect their agencies would ever start using the tools.
Right.
A year ago, that probably would have been 75%.
And, yes, absolutely. And that 44% was even before the administration came out with its new guidelines.
Right.
So I expect that number to be significantly lower when we repeat the study. And we're very excited to see what this means in terms of how the agencies approach social media.
Okay. There's a notable difference in a couple slides previous, the age difference of the feds versus the contractors. A majority of the feds were somewhat older than the contracting community, so it seemed to me. Is that accurate?
Well, and this is one of the things that we can't escape when we're looking at this issue. The feds are significantly older than the contractors. When we looked at these numbers, we had 40% of our respondents, 40% of federal employees, were over the age of 55. And, you know, that, I think, completely dovetails with everything we know about the graying of the federal community. 60% of federal employees approximately are going to be eligible to retire in the next 10 years. It's a more mature community. The contractors, by contrast, we only had 25% over the age of 55, and 40% of the contractors were younger than 45 years old, compared to 26% of the feds.
So it was almost reversed there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that may be one of the things that is driving this difference we see in use between contractors, employees, and federal employees, where use by contractors is higher and is more multifaceted in that they're using multiple tools in multiple different ways.
Okay. Well, let's get into exactly how they are using it then. Let's start with the feds, and how are they using the social media tools when they use them?
Well, amongst the federal employees, and we'll begin with them, the usage is primarily to get information out to the constituents, to the citizens. It is primarily one-way communication, so the federal agencies are posting content on their blogs or on their wikis. Some agencies have created Facebook pages and have established Twitter feeds. But it is primarily to push information out to their target audiences and to the citizens. The contractors are using it largely as a marketing tool. So they're using it to complement some of the marketing activities that they're doing, targeting the federal community, whether it's by creating Facebook groups and Facebook discussions, having their employees participate in forums on LinkedIn or on GovLoop, or posting, creating YouTube channels where they'll post videos about their products. And it's actually really fascinating how some of these technology companies are using YouTube to to post customer video testimonials, to post video demonstrations about their products and services.
They have YouTube channels for a lot of companies.
They do. Some companies have even taken it to the next step where, in addition to building a YouTube channel, they've actually created programming series. So whether it's a documentary series that are posted in episode format, so it's almost taking on the form of every couple of weeks on a Tuesday, you come watch our new video that is not necessarily tied to a specific product or service, but is an additional way for them to engage their audiences.
Okay. Now, a little further on, and we're not going to get through the whole thing, so I'm just going to skip to a couple of places. Some of the concerns for using it included internal governance and legal issues, and I'm assuming that's on both sides of the fence, the feds as well as some of the larger contractors. But one of the biggest challenge from the contractors was how to measure the return on the investment and develop metrics that effectively track your performance on social media. What's your gut there? Are they developing tools to help them do this?
Well, you know, this is actually one of the biggest questions, those challenges to social media that we're seeing in every market that we look at, and we're actually hearing it quite a bit here at this conference as well, is how do you measure how effective your social media programs are being? Looking simply at the number of followers you have on Facebook really doesn't give you any meaningful insights. It just tells you that those people have signed up. So what sort of metrics do you create to understand if your social media activities are being effective? And currently, it's an open question. Similar to the way people would ask, how do you tell if email is an effective tool? Well, it helps you communicate more effectively. It helps you exchange information with your clients extremely effectively. It gives you an ability to track those conversations and sort them accordingly. But could you assign a dollar value to the value of email? Some are arguing that maybe that's how you need to think about social media. However, there are emerging tools that allow you that are beginning to help you understand the level of engagement that your efforts on social media are creating, and track whether an engaged audience is truly resulting in increased sales.
You know, let's pick up that on the other side of this break. My guest today is John Cagia. He is the research manager at Market Connections. You can find him at marketconnectionsinc.com. When we come back, we're going to pursue those new tools and wrap up our discussion by talking about the more popular social media hangouts. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
It's the only program of its kind in the world, a unique opportunity to help strengthen our country's defense and further your career. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University's School of Management. The only executive MBA degree tailored to developing leaders and managers in the U.S. defense industry. A unique combination of high-caliber executive business education, industry-specific knowledge, and hands-on learning, designed to accelerate your career in the military, government, and corporate defense sectors. Offered by one of the country's leading business schools, according to a ranking by U.S. News & World Report. To learn more, visit som.gmu.edu/defense or call 703-993-4457. Do it today, because the last day to apply for the fall semester is June 20th. The National Defense Executive MBA at George Mason University's School of Management. Do it for yourself. Do it for your country.
Have you delayed putting together an estate plan? Your retirement savings, insurance policies, and real estate are all part of your assets. If you or your partner should ever become incapacitated, who will handle the financial or medical decisions? And how do you want those assets distributed? Hi, I'm Wayne Zell of Zell Law and host of Blueprint for Wealth Saturdays at 10 a.m. Find out how you can better secure your future this Saturday or call me at Zell Law at 571-203-9355. Or visit us on the web at zelllaw.com.
Getting things done more easily from more locations and more devices. That's the power Microsoft Office 2010 delivers to you and your agency. With Office 2010, federal workers will find rich and powerful new ways to efficiently deliver their best work, whether from your PC, phone, or web browser, at work, home, or on the road. Also, give life to your ideas with new data analysis and visualization features. Put the power of Office 2010 to work for you. Learn more at msgovoffice2010.com. That's msgovoffice2010.com. If you're a federal manager, this year you're being asked to open up government by increasing transparency, enhancing collaboration, and improving citizen engagement. Don't take on this challenge alone. Join hundreds of your colleagues at Excellence in Government on July 19th and learn about the latest best practices and new technologies that are required to make open government a reality. Visit excelgov.com today to reserve your place at Excellence in Government, the premier best practices conference for federal managers.
What's the buzz in the federal community? Chris Dorabeck knows it. Join Chris for his new show, The Dorabeck Insider, weekday afternoons 3 to 7 on Federal News Radio AM. Chris has the insights on who's coming and who's going, new memos, new contracts, fun and helpful ways for federal managers to improve agency productivity while meeting mission goals. The Dorabeck Insider, building federal community by connecting people. Weekday afternoons on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest is John Cagilla. He is the research manager of Market Connections. You can find them at marketconnectionsinc.com. John, on the break, we were talking a little bit in more in depth about the tools that you're discussing at the conference you're at. Tell us a little bit about what these things can do now.
Well, the technology that is evolving is really amazing. We actually saw a presentation yesterday by a company called Serendio that has the ability to build what they call a web crawler that can look at Twitter, look at Facebook posts, LinkedIn, blogs, comments on Amazon and other sites where people post reviews, and aggregate all of that information and quantify it. So you're able to tell, are the comments positive or negative? What specific aspects of your product, service, product and or service are being discussed? How important are those specific products, or those specific features to your audience? And what about them is spurring the discussion? So it allows you to quantify what is a lot of disparate and qualitative information on the web. And one of the discussions we've been having at the conference is that we're really still at the beginning stages of harnessing the true potential to capture all of the content being created through these social tools and analyzing it into actionable insights for our clients.
Cool.
There's also a second piece that I think is worth mentioning, and there's also a lot of research being done into how people are using the tools, and we can't overlook that, in that if you want to use social media effectively to target your audience, you first have to understand where your audience is. And so that's another big piece of the research that is being discussed and being done, and that's part of what our study covers for the federal government employee and contractor communities.
Okay. Now, do you have any feel for how people are using it? Actually, you do, because you got a ton of that stuff here.
That's really the heart of our study, is understanding what they're using and how they're using.
Well, let's touch on, I want to touch on, the most popular or most widely used tools right now are wikis, LinkedIn, and then we have some referred to as micro communities like GovLoop.
Absolutely. Now, one point worth mentioning is that when we're talking about social media, we're not just talking about social communities. We're also talking about things like blogs and wikis, online video, RSS feeds. So it's all of these tools counter social media. And wikis are some of the most widely used tools. We found that 7 in 10 organizations that we spoke with are using them because they allow organizations to very effectively share information internally. I mean, you're no longer having to create documents in triplicate and print out 3-ring binders. You can create a wiki where anybody in the organization can update it, and you're not necessarily needing to go through all the cost and expense of having to print off documents or create new documents every time something minor changes. We're really interested in seeing that LinkedIn has risen to the most widely used social media tool, particularly amongst government contractors, which is particularly compelling given that when we first did this study in 2008 and repeated in 2009, LinkedIn was significantly lower, less widely used than Facebook. But one of the things we're hearing is that people are really beginning to understand how LinkedIn can be effectively used, not just to build relationships, but to share information with your community of peers in a professional setting.
Right. Well,
and the quality of information you get on LinkedIn,
right,
because it's by experienced personnel, is very, very good.
That's the key point. LinkedIn was built for business. Facebook wasn't. So it's being retrofitted, and everybody who joins LinkedIn is probably employed somewhere or looking to be employed, but they're, you know, professional business people around the world, but primarily U.S. So it's an extraordinarily robust tool, and there are several thousand groups, and I'm not joking there, on just focused on various aspects of doing business with the government, from lobbying to, you know, IT to facilities to just all kinds of things.
And you make a great point there, Mark, and I think that's really where one of the true powers of social media lies, is that it allows people who have very niche interests to find other people who share those interests. Chris Anderson of Wired calls it the long tail, where,
right,
you know, Facebook will serve everyone, but smaller micro-communities like GovLoop, which is a social community targeted at government employees and government contractors, are growing as people realize that, you know, I can go there and people will be talking shop. People will be talking about the things that are important to me, and we're able to exchange information in a way that, in many respects, you're not able to do in a broader forum like Facebook.
Right, and you can really ferret out, again, the long tail kind of things here, and I found some extraordinarily focused technology groups on LinkedIn. They may only have 50 or 60 members, but if that's the community you're looking for, that's a group you got to be in.
And that's a great point. And one of the lessons that marketers are learning is that, you know, the race isn't to the top of the group charts. You don't necessarily need to have 100,000 people for your group or your Facebook page or your LinkedIn community to be effective. What you do want, though, are the people who are there, 50 or 60 though they may be, to be active, to be engaged, and to be sharing information in a way that's meaningful for everybody involved.
Exactly. And you know, it's amazing how collaborative people get once they're in these social groups, too.
Absolutely. And I personally think that that's where the true promise of social media lies, is that it creates an opportunity to create, for example, multidisciplinary groups where people who have generally not, they're working on a similar issue, but they've never had an opportunity to exchange information with people who may see an opposite side, or maybe approaching the issue from the opposite side.
So, right.
Economists and biologists and sociologists, all able to get together to address a single issue in a specific group. And the opportunity that presents in terms of creating or developing new ideas and new approaches to some of the really systemic challenges that government is facing, is extraordinary. Looking at the multidisciplinary teams that, for example, are being pulled together to address the BP, the oil leak in the Gulf, is a great example of that. And I think we will be seeing much more of that multidisciplinary approach because it's very easy to do using these tools.
John, that's a great place to wrap this. Thank you very much for joining me today. You can find John Kuguia and this study and other studies at marketconnectionsinc.com. My guest has been John Kuguia of Market Connections. John, thanks.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Appreciate it. This is not my day job. If you need some of the most experienced advice for marketing your company to the government, including using LinkedIn, give me a call. You can find me at federaldirect.net. And remember, you haven't been anywhere or you haven't been everywhere until you've been off center with AmTower.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM WFED, your source for federal news now.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind. But are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in home monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems and pay just $18.95 a month, and there's no cost to switch. Why Ackerman? Ackerman has over 40 years of industry-leading experience. Ackerman monitors your home from its UL and CSAA 5 Diamond Certified Monitoring Center. Ackerman was recently recognized as the National Dealer of the Year from over 30,000 companies. Get the most qualified professionals monitoring your home for just $18.95 per month. And Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Over 180,000 people enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. Federal employees call today and get 4 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service. Call 888-999-1070, 888-999-1070, or visit AckermanSecurity.com.
The Internet. It's indispensable. Without it, how else would we perform crucial functions like shoe shopping, watching videos of a cat playing the piano, emailing inspirational anecdotes to our 1,000 closest friends? But despite these awesome utilizations of information technology, at Kaiser Permanente, we've found some better uses. Like being able to securely manage your own health online 24/7, emailing your doctor's office, checking most test results, reviewing meds, making routine appointments. Not to mention a vital digital connection between you, your doctor, and everyone on your team. Could it be that making total health smarter, more efficient, and more convenient is the very sort of thing for which the Internet was intended? Maybe, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't fit in a cat video now and then. We're Kaiser Permanente, and we want you to live well, laugh well, and thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
If you're an IT professional looking to advance your career, it's anything but a game. Which is why UMBC is the only university in Maryland to offer graduate programs in human-centered computing, where students apply principles from human-computer interaction, behavioral sciences, and design. UMBC also offers graduate programs in information systems, including an online master's in IS. Get the credential that makes a difference and put some muscle back into your resume. Find out more at is.umbc.edu today.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio.